Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good to see you all here. I'm going to talk to you just for a few moments because they have a training that they're going to do with you on culture about some of the things that Rachel mentioned, because she actually mentioned some of the things that I wanted to mention to you. My role today is to do two things, to thank you for your support and also to ask for your continued support. She mentioned this in January of 1992 on the 18th. I keep a journal, so I try to keep up with stuff like this. Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, assist the church in smaller units rather than larger ones. And I wasn't in here when she asked the question, but I heard her as I was going to the restroom. How many of you were here in 1992? Let me see your hand if you were here. Wow. So y'all missed a whole lot of y'all life if y'all weren't here in 1992. Well, it's interesting. It took me 20 years to really get a revelation of what the Spirit of God was saying when he said the sister church. I had this, my spiritual dad is Dr. Fred Price. And so you normally kind of imitate your father, and, you know, until you find your own way, you normally act kind of like your dad. And so at Crenshaw, the church that he pastored, they had these large Bible studies. And so all during the week, they had these Bible studies. So that was my plan, that we was going to have all these large Bible studies during the week. And then everybody would go to these large Bible studies. And in that context, the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, assist the church in smaller units rather than larger ones. And over the years, I attempted to do it, but I didn't really have a real concept of small units and small groups, and we end up calling them life groups. But as time went on, I began to realize the importance of what we are doing now. It's not a program. Life groups is not a program. It's not a program that's going to be here and then we'll do something else later. No. Spirit of God spoke to me and he said that we're building an infrastructure. So life groups is a part of the infrastructure, the foundation of this ministry, which means we're going to do life groups for the duration of the church until Jesus comes back, if you know. So it's a part of what we do. The reason why life groups are so important is, in fact, life groups are as important as what I do every Sunday, what I do every Wednesday. And the reason is, man is not just a spirit. We can feed the flock on Sundays and Wednesdays, but they won't have all their needs met because God created man a social being. A social being. He said it's not good for man to be alone, to be by himself. God created man to be able to relate to one another, to somebody. And so for so many years, we've had the ministry of the word, but we didn't have a vehicle where people could relate to one another. And there's such a huge need because we're social beings. We need someone to relate to. So it's not a program that you're a part of, is a part of the infrastructure of the church. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 23 through 24 tells us that anything that God instructs us to do is for our good always. Whenever God tells us to do something, it's for our good always. So if God says, assist the church in smaller units rather than larger ones, then it's for our good. It's for the good of the church. It is one of the keys to the growth of the church. It's one of the keys to the health of the church. But it's one of the keys to our flock being successful. because my assignment as a pastor is to take care of the sheep. But no one person can take care of sheep. And I don't know if you even look at yourself like that, but I hope that you do look at yourself like that, that you are helping me to take care of the sheep. That, and all I'm asking you to do, because you have so many different gifts and talents and abilities, and what I like about life groups is that we didn't tell you exactly what to do, what to bring to the table. So what you're bringing is so diverse and it's so wonderful. And we're enjoying tremendous success because of you. But I want you to think a little bit broader than just you having your group. I want you to think about the fact that you're helping me to care for God's people. I mean, apart from your unique gifting or talent or whatever you're doing in your life group, all I want you to do is love them. So all you got to do is love them. So all you got to do is care. That's all I'm asking you to do, is just care for them and know that they're there. You know what I mean? And as the church began to grow, I began to feel the stress of not being able to be everything to the sheep. Because my thoughts is, if you're not the greatest preacher in the world, if you're not the greatest teacher in the world, if you're not the greatest singer in the world, you can love. I mean, you can care for people. I mean, you can just really love people. And so that was my thing. I'm going to love them. I'm going to care for them. I'm going to do my job, that when I stand before God, I'm going to be able to say, you know, I really care. I wasn't just doing something. I really cared about them. But as the church grew, my capacity to be able to be everywhere just diminished. I just didn't have the capacity. And so as I look back on it, I see God never intended for me to be everywhere. He never intended for me personally to care for all the people. God gave me you. And you are part of my care system to be able to care for them. So even though you may not be teaching the Bible in your whatever you're doing, you may be cycling or you may be doing chess or walking or whatever, it still means the need. It still means the need, and that's why people are in your group. And it doesn't matter whether the large group or a small group. It doesn't matter if it's just one person in there, two people in there. It really doesn't matter, because the Bible says that God will leave, the good shepherd leaves the 99 and goes and get the one. So it doesn't matter how many people in the group. What matters is somebody's in the group that needs somebody to love them. And that's the beauty of it, is that we have an opportunity to love God's people. And there's nobody on the planet that God loves more than his people. I mean, he just loves his people. So I think it's a beautiful plan that he had to take care of his people. And you're part of that wonderful, wonderful plan. So he said that I will have every willing, skillful laborer. That's what God promised me. So you're willing and skillful laborers, aren't you? Okay, you're willing and skillful labor. So, and God's, you're vital to it. I can't do it. We can't do it. Church can't do it without you. So you're vital to it. You'll have every willing and skillful labor for all men of service, because you can't do it by yourself. So you're vital to it. You're critical to it. God in his sovereignty decided that he was going to operate in the earth through people, humans, not independent of them. So he limited himself to people. So this is not a program. It's God's vision. It's his assignment. It's what he said, I want this church to be like. And so God can't be successful without you. And Faith Chapel can't be successful without you. And I can't be successful without you. And so it's not a speech. I really can't do it without you. I mean, we can't do it without people. So I don't know how important you feel. You may feel like what you're doing is not that important, but it's very important. It's very important. It's very important. Because it's what God told us to do. And that's the thing that keeps me consistent through all the stuff that goes with it. You know what I mean? Anytime you're doing something, it's some stuff. Anybody ever had some stuff? You had any stuff in your group? You know, sometimes there's challenges that you face in anything that you do. There's going to always be some challenges that you face in what you do. But the thing that keeps me consistent, the thing that keeps me getting up in the morning, the thing that keeps me coming to church and going is to know that I'm working with God. I mean, I'm working with God. Think about the God of the universe. I am actually working with him and caring for what he cares about. So I would like for you to keep doing what you're doing. Will you just keep doing what you're doing, and will you continue to help me? And I appreciate you so much. Will you just keep doing what you're doing? Keep doing what you're doing. And I heard Rachel talk about claiming a return. God keep good books. And it's not just a saying, God will pay you. I'm serious. God will pay you. If your heart is right and you love his people, God will pay you. He said, go into the vineyard. That's what he told me. He said, go into the vineyard and whatsoever is right, I'll pay you. I didn't just read that in the scripture. That was the spirit. I heard the spirit of God says, go into the vineyard and whatsoever is right, I'll pay you. So when you're doing something for the kingdom, God will pay you. And that's the thing that I hope you leave thinking about. This is kingdom. This is God. This is not just Faith Chapel. It's not just a program. You are helping God. You're helping God. You're helping God. And maybe your vision is bigger than the group you have. Maybe you have something in you far surpass how many people you got, whether four people, five people, three people, two people. And maybe you got something on the inside of you that says, oh, I'm bigger than what I'm doing right now. Anybody ever felt like you were bigger than what you were doing? Let me see your hand if you felt like you were bigger than what you were doing. I feel like that all the time. I feel like that all the time. I feel, oh, so much in me. There's so much God has put in me, and I'm bigger than what I'm doing. But here's something I learned years ago when nobody was coming to the church. Nobody would come to the church. And when I used to come down here and minister, very few people was in this church. Very few people was in this church. I learned that in order to do that big thing that I had in my hat, I had to do what I was doing, and I had to do it with all my heart, like it was the greatest thing in the world. And that faithfulness would catapult me into the other thing. So I told the Lord, because I had this thing in me, I was supposed to go to the whole world, and seemed like I couldn't hardly do nothing here. And so I told the Lord one time, I said, well, God, listen, if I never leave here, and I was talking about right here, if I never leave here, and that's what I do the rest of my life, I'm going to give it my best shot. I'm going to do it like I'm going to be there the rest of my life. And that brought a degree of contentment to me, I no longer was frustrated, because whatever I was doing, I was going to give it my best shot. So whatever you do, whether somebody show up, don't show up, one person show up, whatever, treat that one person like it's a thousand, because God's watching. He's always watching. And what we do right now determines whether we would, whether what we're going to do down the road. I remember Minister Everett, when he came here, he was talking about all the stuff he was going to do. And I said, listen, man, if you ever want to do that down there, you have to forget about that down there. And you have to act like what you're doing, you're going to do it the rest of your life. And if you give it all your heart, whether anybody thank you or anybody see you, give it all your heart, then God will constantly promote you to another place. Because, see, promotion comes from the Lord. Don't come from Pastor Mike. Don't come from Faith Jeff. Promotion comes from the Lord. And so whatever we do for the Lord, the Bible says the same shall we receive of him. So whatever you do, do it with all your heart. Man, give it your best shot, your best shot. Every sermon is my best shot, my best shot. I never stand in front of folk and I ain't ready. I gave it my best shot. I studied, I looked up words, I prayed, because when I stand there, I want to be able to leave the pulpit knowing I gave it my best shot. And that's all you can do. In life, that's all you can do is give it your best shot. So thank you so very much. I appreciate you. Y'all about to have me crying. I feel like crying right now. And I ain't cried in a long time. Yeah, I thought I was growing up. You know, I'm a big boy now. I don't do that crying stuff. But y'all got me crying, so I better stop this. So can I pray over you?
Yes.
I know she prayed, but it really wasn't. That really. Why much anointing to that? Father, in Jesus' name, thank you so very much for all those that you've every need that's specific needs that they have, those that they can't voice to anybody else. Every challenge that they can't even talk about, help them. Help them. Encourage them. Strengthen them. Strengthen them. Give them more grace, more grace, more grace. Open up their eyes. Help them to see. That is kingdom. That is kingdom. That is you. And bless them, God. Bless them. You know what they need. You know what they desire. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Encourage them. Encourage them. Strengthen them. Take care of them. Let no harm come to them. No evil. Bless the works of their hands. Wipe away every tear. Do it, Jesus. Do it for me. Bless them for me. For me, Jesus. For me. You receive it? Thank you.